From under the table where he was lying at Charles Wallace's feet, hoping for a crumb or two, Fortinbras raised his slender, dark-headed greeting to Meg, and his tail thumped against the floor. Fortinbras had arrived on their doorstep a half-grown puppy, scrawny and abandoned, one winter night. He was, Meg's father had decided, partly Welland Setter and part greyhound, and he had a slender, dark beauty that was all his own. "Why didn't you come up to the attic?" Meg asked her brother, speaking as though he were at least her own age. "I've been scared stiff." "Too windy up in that attic of yours," the little boy said. "I knew you'd be down. I put some milk on the stove for you. It ought to be hot by now." How did Charles Wallace always know about her? How could he always tell? He never knew, or seemed to care, what Dennis or Sandy were thinking. It was his mother's mind, and Meg's, that he probed with frightening accuracy. Was it because people were a little afraid of him that they whispered about the Murray's youngest child, who was rumored to be not quite bright? "I've heard that clever people often have subnormal children," Meg had once overheard. The two boys seem to be nice, regular children, but that unattractive girl and the baby boy certainly aren't all there. It was true that Charles Wallace seldom spoke when anybody was around, so that many people thought he'd never learned to talk. And it was true that he hadn't talked at all until he was almost 4. Meg would turn white with fury when people looked at him and clucked, shaking their heads sadly. "Don't worry about Charles Wallace, Meg," her father had once told her. Meg remembered it very clearly, because it was shortly before he went away. "There's nothing the matter with his mind. He just does things in his own way and in his own time." "I don't want him to grow up to be dumb like me," Meg had said. "Oh, my darling, you're not dumb," her father answered. "You're like Charles Wallace. Your development has to go at its own pace. It just doesn't happen to be the usual pace." "How do you know?" Meg had demanded. "How do you know I'm not dumb? Isn't it just because you love me?" "I love you, but that's not what tells me. Mother and I have given you a number of tests, you know." Yes, that was true. Meg had realized that some of the games her parents played with her were tests of some kind, and that they'd been more for her and Charles Wallace than for the twins. "IQ tests, you mean?"
"Yes, some of them."
"Is my IQ okay?" "More than okay." "What is it?" "That I'm not going to tell you. But it assures me that both you and Charles Wallace will be able to do pretty much whatever you like when you grow up to yourselves." "You just wait till Charles Wallace starts to talk. You'll see." How right he'd been about that, though he himself had left before Charles Wallace began to speak. Suddenly, with none of the usual baby preliminaries, using entire sentences. How proud he would have been. "You'd better check the milk," Charles Wallace said to Meg now, his diction clearer and cleaner than that of most 5-year-olds. "You know you don't like it when it gets the skin on top." "You've put in more than twice enough milk." Meg peered into the saucepan. Charles Wallace nodded serenely. "I thought Mother might like some." "I might like what?" a voice said, and there was their mother standing in the doorway. "Coco," Charles Wallace said. "Would you like a liverwurst and cream cheese sandwich? I'll be happy to make you one."
"That would be lovely," Mrs. Murray said, "but I can make it myself if you're busy."
"No trouble at all." Charles Wallace slid down from his chair and trotted over to the refrigerator, his pajama feet padding softly as a kitten's. "How about you, Meg?" he asked. "Sandwich?"
"Yes, please," she said, "but not liverwurst. Do we have any tomatoes?"
Charles Wallace peered into the crisper. "One." "All right if I use it on Meg, Mother?"
"To what better use could it be put?" Mrs. Murray smiled.
"But not so loud, please, Charles. That is, unless you want the twins downstairs, too."
"Let's be exclusive," Charles Wallace said. "That's my new word for the day. Impressive, isn't it?"
"Prodigious," Mrs. Murray said. "Meg, come, let me look at that bruise." Meg knelt at her mother's feet. The warmth and light of the kitchen had relaxed her, so that her attic fears were gone. The cocoa steamed fragrantly in the saucepan. Geraniums bloomed on the windowsills, and there was a bouquet of tiny yellow chrysanthemums in the center of the table. The curtains, red, with a blue and green geometrical pattern, were drawn and seemed to reflect their cheerfulness throughout the room. The furnace purred like a great sleepy animal. The lights glowed with steady radiance. Outside, alone in the dark, the wind still battered against the house. But the angry power that had frightened Meg while she was alone in the attic was subdued by the familiar comfort of the kitchen.